The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with myself, Mark Walton, Will Smith and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Fakenham and Lingfield domestically. We also have racing over in Ireland from Thurles. Three national hunt meetings to look forward to. So do tune in for all of that. Right now though, I'm joined in the studio by Will Smith. It's almost like tomorrow's show. How are you, Will?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We were recording this before Saturday's action at Ascot, but another good couple of days there. We've got Boxing Day coming up with the great racing at Kempton and the William Hill sponsored card at Weatherby as well. It's a good time of year, isn't it, for racing fans?
It's a great time of year for everyone, I imagine. Christmas is is hopefully a good time of year for most people. But no, on a racing front, it's if you've had enough of the turkey and had enough of seeing the family and family members that you don't normally see except once a year and then sick of them, then you can get away and go racing because there's plenty of opportunity and it's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Let's just take a quick look back at Friday's card at Ascot. You were there, weren't you?
I was there, yeah, on the way up. I obviously live down on the south coast now, so it was a perfect stop-off, really, for me to pop up here. And it was good stuff. I was quite keen on Petit Zig before the race, and I was obviously very keen on him during the race. I think I wouldn't give up on Joss's Hill.
No.
His preparation was apparently fairly stop-start. Nicky Henderson was alluding to. So the fact that he did jump sketchily, but coming to the second last, he was bang there. And I think he shows so much speed. I think he is probably an out-and-out two-miler on good ground, I imagine. He does have a bit of scope, but I certainly wouldn't give up on him. I think the market has probably overreacted in pushing him out to, I think he's 16-1 in some places for the Arkle, which is huge. Admittedly, I think Vautour will win that if he turns up, but he's certainly a horse I wouldn't give up on.
Yeah, the market as it stands, Vautour is 3-1, 92-foot under, so Petit Zig into 8s, Joss's Hill 10s with Valsalido, and 14-1 for Godzone, and Vibrato Valtat 16s or bigger for the others. So
yeah, well, even 10-1, Joss's Hill will presumably turn up somewhere next. I think Nicky Henson will probably try and find a bit of good ground for him, maybe. Just trying to think what the end meetings are towards the end of January. There'll be something where he maybe Newbury and a bit of drier ground or something like that. He'll probably win that, and he'll be, you know, 6-7-1 again, I imagine. And obviously at that point we'll probably know where, or have some more idea where Vautour goes, whether he goes to the Arkle or whether he goes to the JLT or whatever he does.
Whichever he goes to, he's going to have a very strong chance, isn't he, Vautour? So Nick Henson did have a bit of good news on the car, though. Lamy Serge was quite an impressive winner in the end.
Yeah, he was. Interesting race, really, because, I mean, only three runners, but all three had something of a chance, you felt, going into the race. Obviously, emerging talent falling two out muddied the waters a little bit. He looked as if he was going fairly well, so looked as if he was going to lay down more of a challenge to Lamy Serge than what the front-running Kalalta Vic was doing. It was interesting. Obviously, Lamy Serge has advertised his claims for the Supreme, definitely, and he is a speedy horse. And Nicky Henderson was explaining that the Supreme is very much his target, and I'd be interested on him. I think that was fairly impressive, and he won the 2 mile handicap hurdle at Newbury, the Jerry Field, and fairly impressively as well. Admittedly, off a lowly handicap mark, but Nicky Henderson will have him well tuned up for the day. Willie Mullins obviously sending Kalalta Vic over. Incredibly shrewd as ever with Willie Mullins. Kalalta Vic's probably about eighth or ninth in his Supreme pecking order, I'd imagine. He's found he's given himself a line into the English form, as it were, because Lamy Serge is probably one of the main threats at the moment from this side of the water, and I imagine that Willie will have a fair plan mapped out now as to where Lamy Serge fits in respect to his horses. And it was interesting that Duvan was clipped in a couple of points with a few firms on the back of Lamy Serge winning, which I thought was interesting, obviously with Kalalta Vic being there and maybe Duvan beats Kolotovic by 30 lengths on the gallops, as opposed to the 10 or so that Lamy Serge beat him by. We'll see.
Well, Duvan is 11-2 with us at the top of the Supreme betting. Shane's Hill 10-1 second favourite, 12 for Nichols Canyon. Lamy Serge in there now at 14-1 with Silver Concord, 16 for Tellers More, and 20-1 or bigger for the others. So a few interesting ones from Ascot. Anything else stand out to you on the day?
The first race, the maiden hurdle, was interesting. Obviously, Champagne Present, given the form of John Joe O'Neill's yard at the moment, not going the greatest. He was really keen, held up. I think that was his third hurdle run, so he'll presumably get quite a nice, attractive mark now. I certainly wouldn't give up on him for the long run. Perhaps a staying handicap hurdle on a bit of better ground. Obviously, being by presenting, he's going to appreciate that. And he's certainly, run with some promise in all three of his hurdle runs now. And at some point, John Joe O'Neill's yard will burst into form. And if he's given a nice workable mark, he might be while he was disappointing on the day yesterday, and a lot of people will bemoan the fact that John Joe's horses aren't going great, it might give us a nice opportunity further down the line to back him at a decent price.
Hopefully so, because he will win a race, won't he? He's got talent.
I mean, much will depend on the handicap mark he gets. I think that'll definitely be the route he goes now. If he won yesterday, and if he'd won his previous couple of novice or maiden races, then they'd probably be looking at slightly higher targets, but they've probably done themselves a favour, really, and he'll be given a fairly lowly mark. I mean, Buckhorn Timothy in third in that race, he was rated in the mid-110s, I think, and he probably is what the handicap will rate the race around. So really, Champagne Present can't be higher than 115, something like that, which I think will be very tempting if he turns up in a handicap off that mark.
I would agree. Anyway, let's leave it there. We must move on. Sunday's racing is fast approaching, and we'll get Will's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Sunday's racing. Will's picked out three races for us. He's gone for a couple at Lingfield and one of them at Fakenham. We start in the 110 at Lingfield, which is a novice's handicap chase over 3 miles. And finish the story is going to attract a bit of attention, I imagine. Comes here on the back of a hat-trick. Penalty to Defy for that latest success, but clearly in good heart at the moment.
Yeah, it was interesting, that race that he won at Southall. Venetia Williams' horse, Sand Artist, back in second, went like the winner for a long, long way of that race, and it finished a story on his... It was on his first run after about a 2.5 month break, so he's well entitled to need the run, but he stayed on pretty powerfully, and I think he produced a similar to run to what he signed off at the back end of the summer, really. So he will be interesting, but I do think that hopefully he creates a bit of a price about Strange Bird, Richard Rose horse, who beat Sand Artist in a similarly facile fashion, really. Admittedly, Sand Artist probably improved on the Southall run in the first time blinkers, but Strange Bird and Lethal Legacy, who reopposes here, they pulled a fair way clear of Sand Artist on that occasion, and I think that Strange Bird can improve back up to 3 miles. Her best form was at Plumpton back in February when winning a 3 mile handicap hurdle pretty easily there, and the £5 extra I think is very lenient. Leighton Aspel got to know her very well on the previous occasion, and she'd be my likely idea of the winner, and hopefully, like I say, finish the story gives us a bit of a price for her.
Yeah, hopefully so. And the tongue tie seemed to work for Strange Bird last time. I know it's always difficult to wait whether it's going to have the same effect second time around. Maybe not so much with the tongue tie.
Yeah.
More so probably with blinkers and stuff like that. But it's a positive that it's worked.
Oh, definitely. And it was interesting, obviously, that was the second run of her season, as it were. She'd had a summer break and she reappeared at Fontwell, where she was well beaten over hurdles behind American Life. But then the tongue tie went on She basically just went at one pace for 2.5 miles in heavy ground at Lingfield. But it didn't look as if she was stopping at the line, so the extra half mile will be fine. Now, when it gets heavy at Lingfield, it gets really heavy, and only certain horses do handle it. So there's every chance that Finish the Story 7 days later, won't enjoy that kind of test. And there's not a great deal else in the race to worry about. You wouldn't imagine. Promised Wings is an interesting horse. He's pretty much detaches himself every run, and whoever's on him has to scrub him away for fully 3 miles in soft ground, and then runs on at the end, but he doesn't win very often. So he, around Lingfield as well, he could get well detached. And you often find that horses that race up with a pace there and get into a nice rhythm are the ones you want to be on.
Mm. Okay then, so that's the 110 at Lingfield. The 140 is the next race going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And John Louis is interesting on that form behind Rock on Rocky at Leicester last time, which was franked by Batavia on Friday. Do you see him as the one to beat?
Yeah, absolutely. Similar horse to a few that Venetia gets off the flat, in that sort of soft ground lovers and effective from a mile to a mile and a half, so they have the requisite speed to lay up in these sort of 2 mile handicap hurdles. Obviously loves the ground, which will be very, very important. Rock on Rocky sort of blotted his copybook a little bit at Fos Lass in the week, but I think he's a horse that if that was an aberration, then he is one that it could pay to follow, because he seems as if he just is sharply on the upgrade. And as you say, Batavia was back in third. He was well backed on that occasion at Leicester on his stable debut. And obviously on the evidence of yesterday on Friday at Ascot, then it was very clear that the step up in trip helped Batavia. So the fact that John Louis beat him over 2 miles, yes, it franks the form, but I wouldn't suggest that it means he's an absolute shoo-in. But that said, I do think he has every chance to go well. That was only his John Louis' second run of the season, and he reappeared at Cheltenham in the 2 mile handicap hurdle there at the November meeting. So he's definitely improved on each run that he's had so far this winter, and I really think that he can take the step up again. He's only been raised £1 for that Leicester run, and I think that's, yeah, he can certainly go in off a mark of 1-1-1.
Okay, John Louis then, the selection in the 140 at Lingfield. And the final race we're going to look at is the 2 o'clock at Fakenham. This is a Class 3 handicap chase of the extended 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Full of beans there down at the bottom of the weights. Loves it around Fakenham. Comes here chasing the hat-trick. Not always been the most reliable horse, and up into Class 3 company today. Mm. Does that put you off him, or do you side with him?
He's entitled to run well, certainly. I am always keen on trying to cast a somewhat sceptical eye on horses that have done well and then suddenly ups in class, because they go a different tempo as you raise up the classes, and it can put them off their out of their comfort zone, as it were. And this is undoubtedly a better race. You've got Noble Legend, who certainly disappointed last time for Carolyn Bailey at Newbury, but admittedly that was probably a fairly hot race, and he would be one that you could give a squeak to. Billy Twyford you could perhaps give a squeak to as well, and of course Southway Star ran up a four timer a month or so ago, and probably will love the ground and has gone well here, has won at Fakenham as well, but she is up in the weights as well. I think much will probably depend on the prices, but I certainly think Dashing George might be forgotten about in the early shows because of the sort of potential that you've got. Southway Star and Full of Beans and a few horses that are well in form there. He ran a really eye-catching race at 40-1 at Kelso last time, where Diocles was a ready winner for Donald McCain. He's been dropped £2 since that run, but it was more the ride he was given on that occasion. He was given a really, really forceful ride over extended 2 mile 7 at Kelso, and he's actually won over this course and distance back in February off a mark of 1-2-3, where he hacked up, really beats the links. Now he's £8 lower than that, and if Mr. Ryan Winks can just hold on to him that little bit longer than last time, admittedly his stamina will be it's assured, so he may well want to give it a positive ride again over this slightly shorter trip. But that said, around Fakenham, stamina is always at a premium because they tend to go quite fast around those turns, and it ends up being a bit of a slog, especially on softish ground. So hopefully he can be forgotten about. He's the oldest horse in the field at a ripe old age of 12, but age is no matter with these staying handicap chases. Usually you want a battle-hardened horse, and he certainly is one, and I think he could go well at a price.
Okay, good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary, Will, if you'll spin us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, well, I've got Strange Bird at Lingfield in the 110, is it, or the 140?
110, yeah.
Yeah, 110, sorry, Strange Bird. I think she'll go really well on the ground, and the extra half mile will suit her. John Louis for Venetia Williams in the 140 can certainly confirm the piece of form from last time at Leicester, where Batavia was back in third. And then over at Fakenham at the Norfolk course, I've got Dashing George in the in the staying handicap chase.
Okay, good work. Thank you very much, Will. Good luck and enjoy it tomorrow.
Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Will Smith on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Will be in the studio with myself and Mark Slater. It's Fakenham, Lingfield and Thurles to look forward to their three meetings over the obstacles. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.